Today, in addition to breaking down and critiquing and analyzing the film Panic in the Streets, I will be interviewing the director, Ilya Kazan. Don't go away. And now, Jeff Dowder's Film School. I'm Wad Elliott. Thanks a lot, Wad. And now, Jeff Dowder's Film School. I'm Wad Elliott. Thanks a lot, Wad. No, I'm not laughing. Welcome to Jeff Dowder's Film School. I'm Jeff Dowder, and every week, or whenever we are able to, and when the time permits, we have a film that we'll be talking to you about and some other sub-films and sub-categories. Most of you know me as a musician. I am the lead drummer, and I say lead drummer. We've got two backup drummers for Dark Horse, which is a band, is the house band at Mr. Pooh's in Redondo Beach, but also we've got two albums out currently. One is Darkness at Sunrise, and the other is Darkness at Sunrise, I'm There. And our third forthcoming album, which we're currently in litigation over, because our ex-manager, Rad McMuffin, is in possession of the tapes, Darkness at Sunrise, I'm There, New Beginnings. And Rad McMuffin currently has those tapes. We're in litigation against Rad McMuffin. So if you see, Mr. McMuffin out there, feel free to say, hey, Egg, because he hates that. He'll say, my first name is Rad, and, oh, I'm sorry, I thought it was Egg. You know, it's probably childish, but it's the only thing that we have. It's the only thing that I can hang on to, you know. You know what, I've just got to just start it all over again, because I'm thinking about Rad McMuffin, and I'm like all tense. I'm tensing up. Hey, what's up? This is Jeff Dowder, and welcome to Jeff Dowder's Film School. Oh, wait a minute. We've got an announcer. I'm sorry, sir. What's your name?
Wad Elliott.
Okay, let's take it again. I have an announcer for the show. I apologize.
And now, Jeff Dowder's Film School. I'm Wad Elliott.
Thanks a lot, Wad. Well, what are you shaking your head for, man?
Everyone does the same thing. Thanks a lot, Wad. And they...
Sorry, man. It is kind of funny. But you're right. Your name deserves respect.
Yeah, sure.
Let's try that again, man. Let's do this with respect.
And now, Jeff Dowder's Film School. I'm Wad Elliott.
Thanks a lot, Wad.
Fuck.
Come on, man. Just give me a chance. Just do it one more time. I swear to God. I swear to God, man. I'll do it good.
And now, Jeff Dowder's Film School. I'm Wad Elliott.
Thanks a lot, Wad. I'm Jeff Dowder, and welcome to Jeff Dowder's Film School. And I just want to thank Wad. I'm sorry.
Blow it out your ass.
Let me just do this again, man. So I apologize, man.
Bullshit.
Take two.
Like take nine.
And now, Jeff Dowder's Film School. I'm Wad Elliott.
Well, thanks a lot, Wad, and welcome to Jeff Dowder's Film School. And this is Monday, the 14th, I think, if I'm not mistaken. And welcome to Jeff Dowder's Film School. And hopefully every week, or when time permits, we'll be able to come in here and talk to you a little bit about film and, you know, critique it and to look at the different ways that it's done. And I'm kind of into it. You know, I'm a musician. A lot of you know me as a musician. I'm the lead drummer for Dark Horse, which is the house band at Mr. Pooh's, which is in Redondo Beach. But also, just so you know, I'm also very excited about watching film and critiquing it and breaking it down and, you know, and how it was written and how it was shot and everything. It's just kind of a fun thing that I like to do. I got the idea for it when I saw The Exorcist. And the character, the detective character in The Exorcist was a detective character in The Exorcist, and he was into movies, and he liked to critique and everything, and I'm going, I didn't know what that meant, you know, but he looked really excited about it. And so after I saw The Exorcist, everybody was talking about The Exorcist, like the head spinning around and everything like this, kind of like the way they're talking about Joker now. But I didn't care at all about that. I was only like 12, 13 years old. What I wanted to hear about was, what was he talking about critiquing film? And I asked a friend of mine, and we rode our bikes to the library and pulled out books about film. And that's when I started to, you know, get into it. And so I have to say that I was inspired to critique movies from seeing The Exorcist, but I didn't know what the guy was talking about when I seen The Exorcist. So it's kind of a self-discovery, a pathway of self-discovery and, you know, and everything like that. So just to kind of recap, I'm really a musician and I wanted to tell you about the three albums that we do have out. Dark Horse is a recording, you know, artist. I mean, it's a recording artists. And our band is myself, Punch Wilson, who is our bass player. Toby Bow is also our bass player. Gene Griffin plays, lead guitar and banjos. Because we do a number of banjo things. I'm the lead singer, and let's see, that's it. Toby Bow is, we've got two bass players. A lot of bands have two drummers. Some bands have two guitar players. We have two bass players. We have one guitar player who also is very fluent on banjo. He has several banjos that he'll have on standby. And then there's me. And I sing and I play drums. I always sing and play drums. I never come out from behind the drum kit and go up and, you know, do all rock star. I sing from the drum kit, you know. And also, we have a backup drummer who is Steve Wandell. And then the announcer that we just had, Wad Elliott. Wad is also a drummer. So we've got three drummers, two bass players, one lead guitar player who also has on standby five banjos. And I think that's it. So you can tell that my life is immersed in music. And so for me to have time to watch movies is kind of unusual, I would say, for any artist who's also very much immersed in one art form, and then you want to go look at another one, you know? It's very difficult, unless it's just you're watching TV. Like, if we're done and we go and we watch cartoons or something, because that's about as heavy as it gets for us as a band, we'll play hard, we work hard for probably, I don't know, yeah, you know, some sets, man, we'll go 3-4 hours, you know? And then we break, you know, and we go and we watch cartoons. That's just the way it is. We'll watch anything from Scooby-Doo to some Porky Pig. Just anything that takes our minds off of, you know, just takes our minds off of what we just did, which was playing music. But tonight is one of my other escapes. And when I say tonight, I know this is a download. You can listen to this anytime. I'm doing this at nighttime. And I always do Jeff Dowder's Film School at night because I feel like that's the best time to watch movies, you know. And really, in a lot of ways, nowadays you hear people talk about film noir. And film noir was an American film. It was film noir. And it was from America. And it was American. And it was about, like, it was black and white. One of the features of film was it had a femme fatale character, meaning a female that was sort of the deadly character, you know, like that. And also had a lot of psychological themes and it had themes that just, you know, wound their way through the movie. The movie that we're going to, on Film School tonight, the movie that we're going to talk about is a movie called Panic in the Streets. And anyway, this movie was made in 1950, like, one or two, I think, and it was made by a guy by the name of Elia Kazan, and it starred Richard Widmark and Jack Palance, and it also had Zero Mostel, and it had a few other, it had a lot of really good actors, but a lot of them you never heard of, maybe. Probably you would have, but it doesn't really matter, because what matters is the performances are all fantastic, and the movie is pretty badass in its themes and the stuff it deals with. Okay, like, for instance, I'll give you the kind of the thumbnail of this thing. The movie is about a serious situation in the city of New Orleans, and so it's about how different people deal with it, you know. And so with that in mind, I will now tell you what the movie's about, and I will, you know, and we'll do Jeff Dowder Film School.
Jeff Dowder Film School, brought to you by Wise Man Bubblegum. Bubblegum is for kids, you thought. Not with Wise Man. Every smart, slick cat on the dock chews Wise Man Bubblegum. Available at all your local gas stations.
Okay, getting back here, this is Jeff Dowder here, and this is Jeff Dowder's Film School. So getting back to the film we're going to be discussing today, this is a movie that's called Panic in the Streets, and it was made in 1950, you know, like one or two or something. It doesn't really matter. I mean, it does matter because it was made in the early 50s, and that was a time when there was a lot of film noir, a lot of black and white movies. Everybody was kind of bummed out, and, you know, a lot of guys had come back from World War II, and they were, you know, people were nuts, and I mean, it was kind of a weird time, but it was also a cool, because you hear a lot of people say the 1950s in America was really great and everything, and there's money and stuff, but also there was kind of strange people that were, you know, lurking about. So they started to make these film noir movies to tell the stories of these people that just lurked in corners and weren't really, I don't know what you would say it, you know, they were never really going to be normal. They were never really going to be like, you're going to fit in or anything. So in the movie Panic in the Streets, we have a variety of different characters, but primarily we have this group of thugs. They're kind of hoods. They're kind of greasy little hoods. They live in the French Quarter of New Orleans. And I don't know if you've ever been there. Mr. Henry lived there for a while when he worked at a radio station in New Orleans. He was telling me that it's very colorful and it has a great many interesting restaurants and cafes and breakfast places that you can go. And he went to a lot of them. And he said that, and I asked him, I said, did you see any, I don't know, you know, hoodlums? And he goes, not really, you know, except he did say that he found a guy asleep in his car one morning when he come out to go home in his car. And, but that was not, he said that he would not say that guy was a hoodlum or anything. But anyway, there was a lot, by the time Mr. Henry was in New Orleans, there was a lot of tourists there and stuff. But I guess there probably was tourists there anytime that there was a French Quarter, you know, probably anytime after the Civil War and somebody said, hey, you know, it's pretty cool here. I mean, you can get a sandwich, you can get, or what they have in New Orleans, they have them baguettes and stuff. And they probably go, you know, I mean, this is a good place to take tours, you know, and then they go, okay, that would make you a tourist. And so that's how it happens. So that having been said, Ilya Kazan was a filmmaker in New York. He was going to be making a lot of great movies. He made a movie called On the Waterfront, too, with Marlon Brando. And this film, Panic in the Streets, also takes place on the waterfront of New Orleans. And so there's a thing right there. You go, okay, what's that about? You know, that Ilya Kazan is filming at a waterfront. You know, he's filming on docks. And I don't know if that had anything to do with the budget. You know, maybe it probably was pretty cheap to just say, can we rent your dock or something, you know? But they also filmed in restaurants, like I said, breakfast places. And so that's probably got nothing to do with what I want to say. But so here is the movie. The movie starts with these hoods led by Jack Palance. They're playing cards, and one of them's very sick. Now, I'm not going to do no spoilers or anything, but I want to give you the general sense of how the movie starts and where it's going. And one of them's very sick, but he's also winning a lot of money. And he decides, you know, listen, I don't feel good. I want to leave. Well, Jack Palance is a very oppressive and pushy and, you know, just a really bad guy. You know, he's just a scumbag. And he's all, no, you can't leave. You know, I lost a lot of money to you, man. Come on, stay. And the dude's like, no. And so he splits, and this gang of dudes runs after him. And anyway, they get their money, and I think they wind up killing this guy. I'm not sure. I'm pretty sure they wind up killing this guy. So he's dead, and they get their money. So the next day, and I'm not going to give the whole movie, and then the next day. But basically what happens is, they're fishing this guy out of the water. The cops find the dead body down at the wharf, you know, in the New Orleans wharf area, which is where, like I said, they were filming this. And then they took his body into the New Orleans morgue, you know, where they take dead bodies. And turns out that they'd already had one body come in and they looked at it and they did, you know, blood tests and everything. And it had bubonic plague. Okay, and that, if you don't know anything about bubonic plague, that was what was called the Black Death in the Middle Ages. That was a very serious deadly illness, and so that one dude had the bubonic plague, but the guy that died at the card game, his body comes in. And what's cool about Kazan is he uses, like a lot of good directors, like that one movie that Mr. Henry showed with William Shatner, they had a lot of non-professional actors from that one hick town down in Alabama or whatever. Well, the same thing with this movie. Mr. Kazan uses a lot of non-professional local actors from the New Orleans area. And actually, one of the actors in the scenes in the morgue is Elia Kazan himself. He plays like an orderly pushing the dead bodies around and everything. They had carts loaded. Well, not loaded, but you know, there's like a dead body on a cart, you know, just moving them in and out. You're just seeing bodies getting moved in and out because the medical examiner for the city of New Orleans has to look at this. Well, anyway, these are two non-professional actors, but they both had their really good, thick New Orleans accent. And so the dude's going, yeah, what do you want to have for lunch? This is probably boring, isn't it, what I'm talking about? Well, anyway, he goes, well, what do you want to have for lunch? He goes, I want to have spaghetti. Okay, never mind. I don't want to have spaghetti because I just found out this guy's got bubonic plague and I got to work through lunch. So I'm doing that fast, but that's kind of what happens. So, and that's how the guy's all like, what? You know, what did you say? He goes, you know what, man? He didn't even say the guy had bubonic plague. He just goes, you know what? I got to blow out lunch, Jack, because I got something here that, you know, he didn't even say that. He just goes, I don't want to have lunch. And the other guy's like, what, you know, what got up your rear end? Anyway, that's neither here nor there. And there's a bunch of cops and stuff that are there. So now after all that setup, okay, comes the star of the movie. And I don't know if this actor had done a lot of movies with Elia Kazan or not. He seems like he should. He's an actor who made his name originally in a movie called Kiss of Death with Victor Mature. It's a badass movie because in that movie, it established a level of violence that had not happened yet in a movie. And what he did was he took an old lady that was talking too much. She's just all, I forget what she was doing, but she was bugging him. So he tied her into her wheelchair with some electrical cord and pushed her down some stairs, you know. I mean, it was pretty sick, you know, but it was pretty wicked. So I think he played a hood. That's it. He played a hood like a psycho, Richard Widmark Dunn. So you can well imagine after playing a psycho like that, you know, that he may want to like change it up a little bit, you know, like, cause you know, I don't know, gee, I'd like to have a career. Maybe I should play something other than a psycho in my next movie. And he does. In this movie, Panic in the Streets, Richard Widmark now is a Navy doctor and he's married and everything. He's got a kid and all this, and he's got a house, you know, in New Orleans, and he's got a pretty, you know, middle-class life. And here comes the medical examiner of the city of New Orleans. And the guy's all, you know, we need some federal help on this because it's bad, you know, it's bubonic plague. And so he goes, yeah. And that's when Richard Widmark's character and his wife is played by an actress who went on to be in the movie or in the TV show Dallas. And her name was, I think, Barbara Bel Geddes or Barbara Bel, something like that. And she's very young in this, but she later was in the movies, in the TV show Dallas, if you remember that at all. So, and then they also have the kid, the little boy who, I think it's the same kid that was named Pidge in that movie Suddenly. He's a good looking kid, but his face is kind of crimped in and sort of like elf, you know, he's got sort of like a funny looking face. But anyway, so Widmark is contacted and now, yeah, you know, we got a situation. So what's cool about this flick is, it works on two levels, okay? You got the underworld, seedy, creepy, slimy Jack Palance thing where he's going, I don't know about, you know, bubonic plague. I don't know why dudes are getting sick, but this dude owes me money, and I want my money, you know? And so he's like being a total hassle. I mean, he's hassling people. He's going to their houses. He's going to the restaurants. He's bugging. He's bothering people. He's everybody that he meets, he's hassling and stuff. And then let's see, what else? Oh, and then Zero Mostel, who plays sort of this fat lackey. He's just this fat stooge, you know, that does Jack Palance's bidding. And I don't, you know, I don't mean to be suggestive when I say that, but I mean, I'm sure what didn't go there. But anyway, so Jack Palance, you know, and he says, I want to have that guy down in that restaurant that, you know, tonight, man. And he's all, yeah, okay, you know, were you trying to leave town on me and stuff? Because Jack Palance is like the worst kind of bad guy there is in this movie. He's the kind of bad guy that's got his eye on everybody. And he knows if you're going to split, he knows if you're going to, you know, just get out of there, you know, and like betray him and everything. He knows, you know, and he's one of those kind of guys. So, and the Zero Mostel guys say, no, man, I'll be here. You know, don't worry about it. You know? And so I forget how they get to this one place, but this one other dude is sick and he's going like, where's the money? Where's the money? Where's the money? Meanwhile, and across town in a whole other set of situations is Richard Widmark going, well, you know, we got to alert people and we got to find out where Patient Zero is, you know, because Patient Zero, if you know anything about like epidemics and stuff, they got to find out Patient Zero. And that's the dude, that's the original patient. Okay, so where did this start, man? And who is he in contact with? Okay, and then like that. So he goes, yeah, so I'm going to go and find, you know, where these dudes are. And is this boring? Because that's kind of interesting. Anyway, so he goes, yeah, so where's this Patient Zero? So they narrow it down, you know, Richard Widmark and like the mayor and all these heavy dudes from the Navy. And he went to Annapolis and he knows there's kind of a subtext, a subplot going on where he's like a serious genius, you know, from Annapolis, and he's down in New Orleans. I'm not even sure he likes being there, you know, but it's where he's stationed. So looks like he's got a pretty nice house and everything. He's, you know, his wife and kid and everything. Everybody's happy and stuff. So, he's telling all these people, he's telling the mayor, he's telling everybody he can't, we got to find out where this Patient Zero is, man. And then we've got to shut the city down, man. We got to quarantine the city. And that is one of those classic things like from Jaws, you know, remember in Jaws when Sheriff Brody said, we got to close the beach and the other guy said, no, the mayor, same thing, man. You're like, it's the same theme, man, that resonates with audiences. It's like the lone man against the insanity of the bureaucracy and the stupidity of the fear, you know? And so, you know, Chief Brody, Richard Widmark, you know, different eras, but the same problem where he's got to tell this guy, look, man, you're not going to have your city is not going to even, there won't be anybody here, man. They'll all be dying of the bubonic plague, you know? And this dude's all, no, man, you know, I want you to isolate it, this and that, this and that, and this and that. So, you know, these dudes don't have a leg to stand on, but Richard Widmark's got to do what they're telling him to do. Otherwise, they'll pull him off the job, and then he's in a worse place because he wants to make sure that this thing gets contained. And he feels that if he gets pulled off the job, any new guy is going to be in over his head on this thing. So that's happened, and he's able to find out. Okay, he's able to find out, you know, where the Patient Zero is, and one of the coolest and kind of it's kind of bad, but anyway, it's one of the coolest parts of the movie is they find out where Patient Zero is, right? And they go, yeah, you know, so you're Patient Zero and everything. They're like, yeah, oh no, they don't. He doesn't say that. They're saying they know where he is. Meanwhile, before they get to Patient Zero, a nurse comes in to where the guy is, the sick guy, and she goes, a doctor's coming, you better not move him. And Jack Palance is like, yeah, okay, sure. They just completely ignore this woman, and because they know that this guy knows where the money is, so they want to get his body out of there and take him to a regular, like a criminal doctor. You know, these doctors that criminals know and stuff? I mean, I guess. So as they're taking the guy out of there, the police show up and Richard Widmark shows up and the mayor and all these official federal and city and state people are there. And they just decide to just drop this dude, man. Now check this out. They got this guy on a mattress and they're two flights up on a wooden set of stairs and they see the cops coming. They go, okay, well, I guess we're all done with this for the day. And they just dump this dude two flights down. The guy's dying of bubonic plague, right? And how does he meet his end? He's already not feeling too good. And the last thing he sees is he's getting dumped two flights to the cement below, you know? I mean, what? You know, so I'm assuming that guy died because I don't see him in any of the rest of the movie. But, and then Richard Widmark takes off, you know, or not Richard Widmark, Jack Palance takes off. Okay. So this is Jeff Dowder's Film School. We'll come back with more of our films of today's film, Panic in the Street, with Richard Widmark and Jack Palance. And don't go away. Stick around. I've got my interview with Ilya Kazan, the director of Panic in the Streets, coming up after this short commercial. It's not really a commercial. It's like a promotional announcement. This is Jeff Dowder for the world-famous Phil Henry Show website and the merch store. You know, one of the things you should do is become a subscriber to the world-famous Phil Henry Show, and you'll get 35,000-plus hours of archived radio shows, as well as podcasts and netcasts, and a great many of the video casts, both the 360 video casts, a lot of home movies and video casts they do every day. For instance, they just come back from the Maldives, and they have home movies in there of that. But, I mean, that's not really the best part. The best part is all of the great old radio shows and all the great, cool, modern podcasts that you can hear. And you can get those with a subscription to the world-famous Phil Henry Show. You can get it for the month. You can get it for a year. I think I don't even really know how much. It's like it's under $10 a month. And if you get it for a year, it's under like $7 a month, like six something. So I definitely recommend it. I definitely suggest it. I definitely think it's an idea. And it should be something you just get on top of, man. So get a subscription to the world-famous Phil Henry Show website. And also, when you're there, man, go into the merch store, because there's all kinds of cool new items there for you. There's like a Citizens Auxiliary Police Flare Drop t-shirt. There's the Ted Bell bowling shirt. I got to get all this stuff in before the song ends. Bowling shirt. There's Bradley Military Academy. There's also the Belmar Academy. There's also, I mentioned Jay Sounds, the Citizens Auxiliary Police. And there's the women. Oh, and there's also the ladies. Oh, I think I got it all. So, yeah, get over to the Phil Henry Show website, philhenryshow.com. It's pretty rad.
And now, Jeff Dowder's Film School. I'm Wad Elliott.
Thanks a lot, Wad. No, I'm not laughing, but I'm flashing on the fact that I wasn't laughing. And what the hell? No, man, I'm not making fun of your name. When you say thanks a lot, Wad, you sort of go, wow, I just said thanks a lot, Wad, and I'm not laughing. And okay, man, I'm sorry. Welcome back here to Jeff Dowder's Film School. I'm Jeff Dowder, and we're talking today about Panic in the Streets, a film from the early 50s by Ilya Kazan, and a film that starred Richard Widmark, as well as Jack Palance, Barbara Bel Geddes, I think, and Dave Del Wagon, not Dave Del Wagon, Dave Del. Dave Del Wagon's a dude I knew in school. He actually worked for Mr. Henry for a while. I'm trying to find out. I'm going to find out before I do anything more. I'm going to find out the year that this movie was made. The movie was made in 1950, so that's before On the Waterfront, and I believe that's before Streetcar Named Desire. It's like a year before Streetcar Named Desire. So, I mean, Ilya Kazan was really honing his skills and getting it more honed. And just he honed it, you know. And Paul Douglas is another actor that's in it. He plays the police guy that I didn't mention him. And he's kind of an old-time actor. I mean, all these guys are old-time actors, but it was pretty interesting, man. All the different dudes that were in it, and Jack Palance too, like I mentioned. I'd now like to bring out Ilya Kazan. I'd now like to bring out Ilya Kazan, the director of Panic in the Streets, and to ask you some questions, Mr. Kazan, about your movie. Were you just eating cheese? Yes, I was. And that was you. That was Ilya Kazan. Yeah, I'm Ilya Kazan. I just asked you about eating cheese. Okay. Anyway, interesting question. How come you started to be a director? Because I was just interested, and I went to movies when I was a kid and everything. When you did Streetcar, how come you did On the Waterfront after you did this one in the New Orleans waterfront? Well, because the one I did in New York was about organized crime, and so you weren't doing movies about waterfronts per se. No. Okay. What did you think about Robert De Niro? I mean, when they came out and Hollywood didn't like you because you named some names. But De Niro and Martin De Niro, you're talking about Martin Scorsese? Yeah. Those two guys backed you up. Yeah, they did. But it was, I didn't think it was very respectful of me that De Niro came out with the Fearless Leader haircut, you know, which is parted down the middle and looks like he's got like, it's very weird. And I feel that I deserved more respect and everything. You're a great director though. Okay. And so I'm not trying to, what did you think of that movie? The one Mephisto, that the silent movie with the devil floating through this. Yeah. Some of those movies are good. Okay. Thanks a lot. This has been Elia Kazan, interview with Elia Kazan. I'm Jeff Dowder. So what we have here is I'm describing the movie, and the authorities, and really what you have in the city of New Orleans now is this panic or near panic. They don't want it to be a panic, you know. They have not yet, it hasn't yet turned into a panic. And really, you know, if you think about it, if you watch this movie, you think that's what these cats were most afraid of. They were most afraid of the disease spreading, and we're talking about bubonic plague, which was the disease that they discovered in the harbor at New Orleans that this one dude had and then another dude had, and they had bodies coming in, you know, on the hour. I mean, not on the hour, but I mean, they had them coming in pretty regular, and they all had the bubonic plague. But and the reason is why? Okay, why? New Orleans is what? It's a port city, so there's freighters coming in, there's ships coming in. At one point, Richard Widmark's character goes and talks to a couple of sailors, these dudes that have their own ships, their own boats, their own freighters. And he's like, you know, I mean, these dudes are all real suspicious of cops. They don't want to talk to them. He says, I'm not a cop, I'm a doctor, and you got to tell me if this guy was on your boat or not because he has bubonic plague. And the guy's all, you know, what are you talking about? So he had immunization needles, and he gave this guy a shot, and then the guy, you know, he says, you're going to need this, man. If that guy was on the boat, on your boat, and he had the bubonic plague, you're going to need to be immunized. And the guy goes, okay. So he gave him the shot, and then the guy tells him, this dude was on my boat, and he went here, and he went there, and all these other places. So they finally discover who the patient zero is and the immediate people that was infected, right? And they think they got everybody, but there's one guy that they've got to get, and that is a guy that is Jack Palance is kidnapped, I think, or something. But I mean, Jack Palance is their main guy they want to get now because he's getting sick too. But I thought he dragged a guy with him or something. Maybe not. Zero must still go with him. Zero must still is the most hapless person in this movie because he's fat and stupid. And, you know, he's probably going to get bubonic plague too. And he's got this woman in his life that loves him. And all he wants to do is get out of New Orleans. And Jack Palance is making him go and, you know, do his bidding, you know. I'm not saying I don't mean no sexual stuff. I'm just saying he has to do the bidding, you know, when Jack Palance goes, let's, you know, do it. You got to do it, you know. And like he's looking at him and stuff. It's got nothing to do with it. So anyway, now they have to find Jack Palance. Jack Palance has left after they dumped the body on the ground. They know that he's probably infected and maybe one other guy with him is infected. And, they're chasing this dude, man. And Jack Palance doesn't want to be caught because he's killed a guy already. He figures these are all cops. He doesn't know from bubonic plague. He's like, what? You know, this is to him. It's all like one big, he probably thinks it's fake news, you know? You know what I mean by that? And that was probably, he's going, oh, what, man? Bubonic plague, that's fake news. And he's all, you know, catch me if you can, suckers. So he runs off and they chase him and they corner him in the New Orleans waterfront. And this is one of the coolest parts of this movie because they shoot all of this in the New Orleans waterfront and there's all these big ships. And it's almost like you would swear that Kazan took his camera on a regular work day and just ran right through the New Orleans waterfront filming this movie. Because all the dudes that you see are all working stiffs. They're all guys that are, they're fish. Who are those dudes? What do they call those dudes that throw fish? The fishmongers? They got fishmongers there. They got fish. Yeah, they got fish there. You know, the fish are, if the fish knew enough to be stressed out, you know, they'd probably be, you know, like on the run or on the swim, you know, they'd be on the swim and, they'd be swimming from the cops. But, as it turns out, there's Zero Musto, there's Jack Palance, then there's Richard Widmark and a couple, and the cop played by Paul Douglas, and they're chasing these dudes. And I won't tell you how the movie ends up, but it does have this really bitchin' scene where they're running through the New Orleans waterfront. So anyway, it's a very highly recommended movie. I would highly recommend it. And like I said, it's Elia Kazan who made On the Waterfront, and he made Streetcar Named Desire. And this was before he made either one of those movies. So you could say he really got his chops down on this one. And this movie also won an Oscar for Best Writing of a Motion Picture Story. And it got nominated for, I don't know, man. It got nominated for stuff. And another thing you should know about Elia Kazan is that he went before the House Un-American Activities. Yeah, I don't know what it's called, man. It's like the House Un-American Activity Committee, you know, and they thought he was a communist. And so he said that he wasn't, but he knew people that were, and he told the committee their names, and everybody in Hollywood back then got all upset with him, and, you know, they hated him. And I don't know what that's about, but I thought I'd tell you about that. And he was just on a Academy Awards about 3 years ago, or not three, it was maybe 10 years ago. And Robert De Niro came out with him, and De Niro had his hair cut like the Rocky and Bullwinkle dude. It was weird. I mean, they wanted to bring Elia Kazan out and say, this guy's a good guy, but there's De Niro with his hair cut like Fearless Leader in Rocky and Bullwinkle. So I don't know if that helped or if it hurt, but, you know, I'm hoping that, I mean, whatever, you know, I hoped it helped. But then if it wasn't supposed to help, I hope it didn't help. So that's kind of how, you know, where I go with that. Okay. Well,
Jeff Dowder.
Wait a minute. Oh, Wad, I'm going to do it. Jeff. Okay, go ahead.
Jeff Dowder, Film School. I'm Wad Elliott.
Okay, thanks a lot, Wad. And that's it for Jeff Dowder's Film School here. I hope you learned a little something. I like to think that we all can learn a little more than what we know, and I know a lot of people go to movies, and I know we probably don't need any more shows about movies, but it's the only other thing that I know. I know how to play the drums, and I like to watch old movies, so I don't know. I guess this was not necessary, but I liked it. So, Jeff Dowder's Film School. What?
Jeff Dowder's Film School, executive produced by Phil Hendry for Siempre Incorporated. All rights reserved on Podcast One. I'm Wad Elliott.
Go ahead. Thanks a lot, Wad. That's what I was supposed to say, man.